You know what time it is, no matter where you've been. So let's do it again. Listen up and let the sun shine in. We've got soul training. Time to practice what you preach. Ooh, yeah. Yes, we do. We've got soul training.
I'm older than you all, but do you remember New Coke?
I do.
I've heard stories.
What'd you hear?
They should have kept old Coke, is what I've heard.
Preach it.
Well, what do you remember about New Coke?
Oh, I remember it being a disaster.
It was, and
that's when they started, when they brought back the regular Coke, when it started being Coke Classic.
And I was wanting to talk a little bit about the marketing faux pas with, so you didn't know I had French in high school, faux pas.
Wait a minute. Before you go into that, it wasn't Coke Classic until
it was just Coke before that.
Yeah, Coke Classic. So really, there was a spinoff. That's right. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to read some stuff, but you're right. Yeah, Coke Classic came back to kind of, they had to calm everybody's nerves.
That assured you that it was not the new Coke madness. It was what you grew up like.
Learn something.
It was a marketing debacle.
Disaster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Debacle. And I'm thankful that if you're hearing another voice here, we have a long lost kind of close relative of Big Show Joe, a.k.a. Broadway Joe. His brother, your little brother or older brother?
He's my older brother.
But he's smaller than you.
You're thinking the way my five-year-old does is that whoever's oldest should be the biggest.
That's right.
He's both little brother and older brother at the same time.
And his name is Jeremy Pritchard. Does he spell his last name like yours without a C? I mean, without a T?
Yep, same way.
Okay. So these two brothers spell their last name the same way.
That's
newsworthy.
It is. Well, I thought that maybe, you know, some people, you know, like if your last name's Bull, some people take the E off. Some people put the E on.
Well, I don't know where you're going with this, but I can tell you a real quick story of how the T came out.
Okay.
And, Pritchard with a T back a few generations ago, that's really the correct spelling.
Yeah.
But our ancestors and all their infinite wisdom took the T out because his brothers were horse thieves, and he didn't want to be associated with those thieving individuals. So he showed them and took the tea out so nobody would know.
That's how he spilled the tea.
Yeah, that's not the story I heard. I thought it was the folks that came out with New Coke. And then after that, we said we don't want nothing to do with that.
Maybe.
Well, I didn't know you all know Pritchard some Classic. Other Pritchards that had the T in. So are they connected to the horse thieves?
You'll have to ask them about that.
That's another podcast. Well, I'll hurry along here. And we're talking about marketing. And I try to think about one of the worst marketing mistakes that ever happened. And I'm probably the oldest, or one of them, myself and Mr. Jeremy, the two older. I do remember drinking New Coke, and I thought it was like cough medicine. I remember drinking that. And the Coca-Cola company spent considerable amount of time trying to figure out where it had made a mistake, ultimately concluding that it had underestimated the public reaction of the portion of the customer base that would be alienated by the switch. So we all know what happened. They wanted to introduce New Coke in the summer of 85, I think. People didn't like it. So in order to save things, they came back with the Coca-Cola Classic, and New Coke didn't hang around much longer. Cherry Coke also came out of that. I like Cherry Coke too.
I love Cherry Coke.
I do too. That's why I'm in such top physical condition right now, is because a lot of the Cherry Coke that I haven't consumed. But that makes the jumping off point with marketing is we're going to spend a few minutes talking about marketing and the fact that how marketing and evangelism go hand in hand, and how we need marketing in the year 2022 to expand the borders of God's kingdom. We're not replacing scripture. We're not adding to or taking away. We just realize that it's time for us to make sure we're keeping the gospel message on the forefront. So we have an expert here in house, Mr. Jeremy Pritchard. And Jeremy, can you tell the world about you?
Sure. I didn't know I was an expert until just now, but thank you for that.
We certify a lot of people here. We hire coaches here and everything.
You know, all an expert is somebody that used to be a drip under pressure.
Didn't take long. The first one came out. I like that.
Expert. Is that, what did you say? Like, is that like a squirt?
Somebody that used to be a drip. An expert.
Oh.
Used to be a drip under pressure.
Okay. Expert. Okay. I'll get that on the way home.
I'll draw you a picture later.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I appreciate that. And been a fan since day one. Listened to every podcast episode and appreciate that. And thank you for having me. For the last quarter of a century, I've made a living marketing. I've worked for global brands that you would recognize, from the sports world to the home durables world. And recently, within the past 3 years or so, have taken that into the church and taken some of the lessons learned along the way from a secular perspective and tried to apply them to a religious perspective. And there's a really good tie over. So I'm really excited to be here and look forward to talking more about it.
You all can talk now.
Well, I know he's my brother, but I appreciate you keeping that brief. Sometimes we have guests go on a little bit, take some of our time, but I appreciate you keeping that brief. And you are an expert. Don't dumb it down any. You know what you're doing. But the reason, you know, I thought of this episode because not only because my brother, and he's on my mind a lot, but this is something we don't really think about. But to start off with, I guess, whenever Jesus and his apostles were going out preaching, that is a direct parallel to word of mouth advertising. They were spreading the word of the gospel back then, 2,000 years ago. We should be doing that still today. And now, I am not a marketing expert, but I have heard along the way that word of mouth is pretty good.
It's the best. Yeah, you're right. The word of mouth is the best possible marketing avenue because it typically comes through people that you know and trust. And in the case of Jesus and the apostles, they were not only speaking to people that were known to them and trusted by them, but they supported their claims with signs and miracles and evidence that they were who they claimed to be and knew the God that they claimed to serve. To me, I think we should kind of pause for a minute and acknowledge that marketing the church feels kind of funny. When I first heard that phrase, "Jeremy, will you be a deacon for us and market the church?" it stopped me in my tracks, and I had to kind of think, will I do that? And the answer, of course, is yes, but it feels a little funny, and I think that we should spend just a minute talking about why that might be the case. And I think the reason is because marketing and sales go hand in hand. In the world we live in, people are trying to market things to invoke an emotion in us to get us to buy something and give up our money and our dollars. That's the world that we live in. That's not the church that we live in. In the church, it's the opposite. We're trying to market something that's a free gift that's already been paid for. We're just trying to spread the good news. But we have to make sure that we do that in the right way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks a few different times about make sure that when you pray, you do it in the closet because you don't want your prayers to be known and seen. Make sure that when you give, your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing. Growing up in the church, that was my mindset. Make sure that I'm not doing things to be noticed. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also says, when you do things, be noticed. The difference is, why are you noticed?
The motivation.
Are you being noticed because you want to be noticed? Or are you being noticed to bring glory to God? So that is the difference. But I do think that it's important to acknowledge that marketing the church is something that might take some time to get used to.
Just to clarify for our dear listener, the reference that Jeremy was drawing our mind to is Matthew 5:14-16 that says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven."
That's right.
So that's a great point that we are supposed to let things be seen, but the motivation is all the difference. Jeremy, I wanted to ask you, we've used the term marketing a lot, and we'll continue to as the topic, but can you give us a kind of a working definition for that term marketing, especially as we would be applying it in a church sense?
Sure. Most people, whenever they ask, what do you do for a living? And I tell them I'm in marketing, they always ask, what do you do for a living? They don't really know. And so classically, the definition of marketing consists of four P's, and that's product, pricing, placement, and promotion. And that defines what you're doing as a marketer. You're telling people about your product, letting them know the pricing, letting them know what promotions are taking place, and letting them know the place where they can get it. Well, in the church, we're not selling anything. We do have a product, so to speak, and that is the gospel. The price has already been paid. The place that you find the gospel is in the church, and we're supposed to be out promoting it everywhere we go. To your point, Joe, earlier about Jesus and his followers, that's what they were doing. And if we don't plant the seeds and market the good news, tell the world about it, then there will be no crop. So we have to do our job and share the gospel.
I think you just answered my next question, which is, why is marketing so important in the year 2022? Obviously, we know why it's so important. But I guess my foundation for that question is, and you can help me with my answer, but I kind of think maybe because there's such a competition with social media. I mean, I don't know. I had it the last podcast recording we had, but or maybe it's a lesson that I had, but it just talks about how many hours a day that we're all on our devices or how much screen time we all have. And so there's constantly something there in front of us. I mean, I like podcast, but also I like, I just recently went back and revisited things from our life in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I'm like, October 3rd, 1993, Black Hawk Down happened. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been watching all kinds of podcast videos about Black Hawk Down, Kyle Lamb, and all those people like that. And, but when you watch these videos, what do you get inserted? An ad. I'm like, oh my goodness. 30-second ad. How can I skip this kind of thing? So, but my point is they're constantly, we're being bombarded with things. So the church, we've got to find another inroad to keep pushing the message out there. I guess that's the answer to my own question.
Well, we're being bombarded with things, but I'm never bombarded with something religious, I would say. People aren't paying for religious ads that much in these videos, which makes me think, well, then that's what we should be doing. If I'm not going to see something from the church when I'm watching a YouTube video, well, then it seems like it should fall on our shoulders to be that advertising avenue, I guess.
The way I would answer your question, Alan, is as Christians, we're told to be in the world but not of the world. And so we cannot go and put our head in the sand and live in a cave. But we live in a world that is full of people that need the gospel just like we do. And it would be wrong of us, knowing that we have this great gift of salvation, not to tell people about it. How we do that may change over time. For the folks in this room, when I say the words Jewel Miller film strips, you have an emotion and something in your head that you have witnessed once upon a time was a very effective means of spreading the gospel. Well, Twitter didn't exist then. YouTube didn't exist then. Podcast didn't exist then.
Yeah, I don't think you could do Jewel Miller in 140 characters.
I don't think you could either. And so as times change, we need to change too. Now, the message that we're sharing doesn't change. The gospel is eternal.
We need the technology changes, so we need to change that too.
But the method that we use to spread the gospel can change and should change.
Just the vehicle is the presentation, not the substance.
That's right.
And I had one more question, and I won't ask you more questions, I promise.
But, no, don't promise that.
How do you, because there will be some people listening who will want to know, how do you develop a church marketing plan? Program, you can say program, but like if you were going to advise somebody, you're going to act as a consultant for a couple of minutes, how would you advise somebody to, they say, hey, we want to do this, but we don't know how?
I think that that's a great question and probably a place where a lot of people are at. And the first thing that I would do is talk about the members that are there. To back up for a second, when I say Coca-Cola, we started there earlier. What color is a Coca-Cola can? Well, it's red. Everybody knows that. If I say Snickers, what is it that they're trying to do? Well, you know, Snickers really satisfies. And you might not remember their tagline, but you remember Betty White getting mad on a commercial and that emotion. They're consistent. Coca-Cola's been red forever. Well, as the church, if we are not consistent in our community, at our jobs, at the ball field, for what we're trying to tell people that we should be on Sunday, then we're going to fail. So the first thing I would say is, what's the strength of your congregation? Tell me about the membership here. Tell me about the people that are active in their community being Christians. And let's start from there.
Trying to create associations.
Exactly. Because it does come back to kind of where we started with word of mouth. That's the most important thing. People buy from people that they trust. Well, in our case with the gospel, we're not selling anything, but people listen to people that they trust. One of the classic examples from marketing is people don't go out looking to buy a quarter-inch drill bit. People want to make a quarter-inch hole. Well, how do you do that? Well, you do that with a quarter-inch drill bit. So another way of saying that, you know, in marketing speak is features and benefits. Consumers care about the benefits, not so much the features. The features is how you get to the benefits. Well, for us as Christians,
we've got quite the benefit package.
Exactly. That's true. There is no better benefit package, free eternal salvation. So it's really all about spreading the gospel, making sure that people understand the condition that we are in. A sinful people is lost, but that's not the end of the story.
A while back, my wife and I tried with tried to do an MLM and participated in that. did a lot of, you know, marketing MLM trainings and stuff like that.
You mean multi-level marketing?
Multi-level marketing, yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
That's
very
good,
Al.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you take a ride?
Make that be clarified and everything. But it kept occurring to me as we would go through the different trainings that were made available to us that so much of that MLM training was directly convertible, applicable to evangelism, where a lot of the whole methodology is to try to build relationships with a mindset that hopefully one day you're going to find a way that your product meets a need for your friend and helps your friend, and you're going to be there to suggest it. And that's kind of what you're doing with multi-level marketing. But that's exactly what you're doing with the gospel, except you're not benefiting from it financially, but you're reaching out, you're creating relationships, but you want to have in the back of your mind with every relationship, you want them to go to heaven. They need the gospel. They may not know they need the gospel yet, but you're looking for that chance to where you can share the gospel with them to meet that need when they feel that need.
That's absolutely right. A couple of things that jump out to me in what you said. One of them is actually coming back to your question, Alan, how would I advise a church that's looking to get started? And if you're going to build a relationship, is it more effective to speak once every decade or once a day? Well, it's more effective to speak once a day. And so we have to be constantly on, always on. And that means that we're not Christians when we're in the church building on Sunday, and then Monday, we leave the Christian coat behind and we're in the world. No, that's not the way we have to be. If we're going to be effective in marketing the church, we have to be promoting the church everywhere we go, 24/7. Alan, you have on a church right now, that's South Green Street Church of Christ. And so does Daniel have on a missions group retreat shirt. So when you leave this place, people see that and they know who you are. And they talk to you about, well, we do that as sports fans. We wear an Atlanta Braves hat or, in your case, an Alabama shirt or whatever the case.
And Roll Tide.
We're proud about that. And so people would say we're brand advocates. We love this product or this team so much that we want to tell people about it. The thing that's so difficult about what we're talking about is in the church, we're brand advocates, but we don't want to talk about it. We're brand advocates in this building in a safe place, but when we get out to the workforce, we're not as strong a brand advocates as maybe we should be. And for that reason, the marketing of the church is not as effective as it could be.
You know, maybe part of that, I think it's an interesting observation that you made there. It strikes me as possibly a reason for that is, you know, if you're a brand advocate of a team and you're in hostile territory, like if you're walking around on University of Kentucky's campus, might be hesitant to wear that Louisville shirt or that Duke shirt or something like that, because you're not going to be treated well as a result of that. People are going to respond to you negatively, you expect. Well, in this world, you know, you already mentioned the phrase, we're in the world but not of the world. This is Satan's territory, and we're operating in enemy territory. So people may be afraid of the negative backlash for letting their Christianity, letting an authentic and real Christianity be known. I think society is okay with a surface Christianity as long as you're not trying to impose that on other people and you're not taking it out of your home. You're taking it to the public place, the workplace, that kind of thing, as long as you believe what you want to in your home. But if you have a real life-changing Christianity, people can be embarrassed by that because of how the world treats them.
I don't want to get way off on the, because I think that's maybe another episode we're going to have, but there's a legal aspect too. I think sometimes maybe why we're not as vocal as we should. I used to, both of these people are gone now from the school district that I work for, but years ago there was a building principal, and I think there was another underlying conflict with this guidance counselor, but we had a guidance counselor who she would keep her Bible on the front of her desk in her office, and when he became principal, he made her move that to behind her desk on a bookshelf instead of laying it on the front of her desk. And I think there was, if you peel the onion back, I think there was some other conflict happening there. But anyway, he used the legal aspect that if you have students who come into your office, they should not be staring at your Bible when they're talking to you. And so she did it, you know. So anyway, I think that there's a legal aspect too. And it prohibits me sometimes. I mean, I have these shirts because they're, you know, I'm very hot natured and they're very light. They're good to wear. And so I wear them to my work, my daytime workplace sometimes, but I'm waiting to get that call to come to the office.
You know, speaking of the shirts, we've done three or four different apparel orders here at South Green Street. And the first order that we did, I had a lot of questions from people thinking that, well, hang on, marketing the church feels funny, first of all.
They were against
second
it.
Of all, now you're ordering shirts. Is the church benefiting from that? No, absolutely not.
Not benefiting financially, but I think benefiting marketing-wise.
Absolutely. The church is not benefiting financially in any way, but what the apparel has done, what the stickers have done, what the logos and business cards have done are give us a presence in our community that we didn't have before. For example, Alan's holding up his business card, and I'm holding my cell phone, which has our logo on the back of it. Every time I go to buy gas, my cell phone, I pull out my credit card. The clerk sees the logo. I get to invite them to worship with us. Mm-hmm. And that's effective because perhaps I held the door for somebody on the way in. I used manners and said, thank you, yes, sir, no, sir.
And you created a positive association. Somebody sees somebody with a South Green Street Church of Christ paraphernalia own, and they have a good exchange with them, a positive memory of them encounter.
Exactly.
Jeremy, he actually created this.
Yeah.
He created the logo. So kudos to Jeremy. And can I give you one little strategy I do, and I'll let you finish?
Sure.
When I give people a business card, I give them two. You know why?
Tell me.
Well, here's what I want to tell you. Because on the back of my business card, you know what I have? The plan of salvation. So if I'm giving Joe a business card, I'm handing him two, one with the front showing and one with the back showing, because I have the plan of salvation on the back of my card, too, so you can flip it over. So trying to get more bang.
Well, I'm proud of you for giving those out.
From those, I try to give them out every chance I get.
But you mentioned a couple things, just kind of, or one thing in passing I want to say might be a little important to folks that are looking to market their specific congregation of the Lord's Church, is that you keep mentioning branding and a logo, something that's easily identifiable. So if there's a congregation out there that's looking for a way to get more, more or less free advertising.
Visibility, maybe.
More visibility. There you go. a logo is something that they could create. They could have somebody create it, or I'm sure there's websites that would do it a pretty good job, relatively cheap.
Yeah, there's all sorts of resources, and that is a good place to start. You know, for us, the name of the congregation is South Green Street. So, of course, the color green is a part of our logo. And, of course, we're Christians, and so the cross of Jesus is a part of our logo. And then on the logo that we have, there is a cross section, an intersection. There are four dots there. And what those four dots represent is that people coming to a crossroads and coming together, and that's what we do here as a church family. So there's a lot of symbolism in the logo that may go unnoticed, but once you stop and think about it and look about it, it does create an emotional connection, and mainly it helps people remember, oh, yeah, that's the guy that went to South Green Street.
Yeah. I got another question. It's kind of off topic from logos and branding. But you said sales and marketing kind of go hand in hand. I perceive the main reason folks have trouble doing personal evangelism is because they don't want to hear a no. So do you have any advice from a sales background? You've heard no, I'm sure, before.
Never.
Never? Well, you're better than I give you credit
every
for.
Every day, all day. That's all you hear is no, 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 no,
but
no, no.
But sometimes you hear a yes. Hearing the no's doesn't stop you from presenting your product or whatever. What are some tips you can give us maybe to encourage us into personal evangelism, not to worry about the no's or not to worry about the negative things we think of might happen?
Well, as a sales and marketing professional, I try to sell an imperfect product. So if someone wanted to shoot holes in my offering, they could do it because the product that I try to sell professionally is not perfect. That's not the case as a Christian. We have the truth on our side. We have the almighty, infinite creator on our side, and he's told us that we are more than conquerors. So no is one of those things that we're just going to have to get used to doing. And one of the things that always strikes me in the book of Revelations, chapter 21 and verse 8, there's a word in there, and he's talking about hell. And so some of the people that are described as going to be in hell are sexually immoral, idolaters, liars, murderers. But you know what also is in that list? Cowardly.
The first one listed.
Now, most of us would fit the bill that we're not idolaters, we're not murderers, we're not liars, we're not sorcerers, but we may be cowardly. And we're told not to be. Jesus, the last words he says, "Lo, I am with you always." And he gave us the great commission at that time to go into all the world, as like Daniel says, until all have heard. I love that tagline, by the way.
Thanks.
That's very good. And I think you're right. I'm glad you brought that verse out. Some ways that we can advertise that the first century church couldn't, whenever the church was getting off the ground, we've got, well, I'll just tell you, through this podcast alone, we've reached 33 countries, I think.
That's awesome.
We just picked up Ireland the other day. Somebody in Ireland has heard
it. It was really heavy, too.
Yeah. Do you want to do
your... My back still hurts.
This guy. Why don't you tell him your Irish dad joke? Okay. Maybe our Irish fan will appreciate it.
What do you call what's something that's Irish and sits outside?
Irish sitter?
Hey, that's a good one.
That
no,
is a good one.
No,
yeah. I happen to know the answer to this, but I'm not going to say it.
Patio furniture.
Okay. Anyhow.
I like Lucky Charms. I used to eat the marshmallows out of those.
Yeah, I guess those are Irish.
They are.
But anyhow,
Irish.
My point is,
I wish you'd get back on topic.
I'm trying.
That's where the gold is.
They couldn't do that in the first century. We have the opportunity to do podcast or Facebook post. I know you handle the congregational Facebook page there. If we as a congregation would all share that, we could get the message that we're trying to portray as a congregation out to at least our friends. I mean, I know I've got Alan's probably got 10,000 Facebook friends. So whenever he posts something, I don't know how many Facebook friends you got, but it's a bunch.
Well, my children make fun of me because I know how many I have.
Well, I'm not going to ask you. But he's got a bunch. And people see that. And again, my brother was talking about of consistent and branding. Folks expect that from Alan Jones. Folks that know Alan know he's a good guy and he wants to do what the Lord says. So I think we have the opportunity. I encourage everybody to share this podcast, share Christian Facebook posts. If you're on Twitter, share good things. Let's don't focus on the bad. There's so much bad, but there are some good things too. Let's focus on sharing that. It's a form of evangelism.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's about being conscious of what you cause people to associate you with. And how far down that list do people have to go before they think, oh, yeah, Daniel Gaines, Alan Jones, they're Christians. They talk about Jesus. That needs to be something that for a Christian, I wish I could remember the attribution for the quote, but somebody once said there's no such thing as a secret disciple, because either the secrecy will destroy the discipleship or the discipleship will destroy the secrecy.
I think that's good. Our faith should be as obvious as the names on our shirt.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for being here and sharing your expertise with us and for being a Soul Training fan. We appreciate that. And you are good about sharing Soul Training on social media, doing the things that that you're talking about doing and asking people to do. So thank you for being a supporter and promoter.
Thank you for having me.
You know, he brought up an idea to me one time.
What's that?
I would like to any of our international, obviously, we're all American here. You can hear our southern U.S. accents. If any of our international listeners want to reach out to us, we can give them a shout out. I know we've got several listeners, I believe, in Germany. After the U.S., Germany is our number one country, and there's several different states over there where there have been listeners. So if anybody in any of our international audience or if in the U.S. wants to reach out to us for a shout out to whatever.
We should take Soul Training on the road and do an international tour.
Yeah, who's going to pay for that?
I don't
hey,
know.
Hey, you're a missionary. Figure it out, Daniel. We'll okay. do it. Sorry. That was all I wanted to interject.
Thank sure. you, Jeremy, for being with us. I've learned a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah. And thank you, Melatones Jones and Big Show Joe. And we want to thank the elders at the South Green Street Church of Christ for making Soul Training possible. And most of all, we want to thank you, our dear listener, for letting us be a part of your day and your spiritual journey. And we hope that you have found this to be beneficial. And if it has been beneficial to you, then share it with somebody else and reach out to us. We want to hear from you. What questions do you have? What comments do you have? Exhortations, admonitions, anything like that. We want to hear from you. So until next time, keep soul training.
Soul training. Time to practice what you preach. Ooh, yeah. Yes, we do. We've got soul training.
To learn more, you can email us at soultrainingpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can write to us, P.O. Box 503, Glasgow, Kentucky, 42142. That's Soul Training.